Two of the most eagerly anticipated motion pictures of the year, both based on stage plays, open today in major cities. Evita, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical starring Madonna as Argentine First Lady Eva Perón, is a worldwide event with simultaneous holiday openings in London, New York, Rome, and Buenos Aires, among other cities. And Kenneth Branagh's four-hour adaptation of Hamlet, testing the staying power of North American audiences, opens in New York, Toronto, and Los Angeles. Critic Bob Mondello says their stage-to-screen journeys have yielded different but separately intriguing results.
Oh, what a circus! Oh, what a show! Argentina has gone to town over the death of an actress called Eva Perón.
Your first thought while watching Evita is likely to be, oh my God, they really are going to sing this whole thing. But that pretty quickly stops being an issue. Music videos have gotten us used to the notion of illustrating songs with visuals, and since the music is pretty much nonstop in Evita, there's no jolt between dialogue and songs the way there is in, say, Oklahoma. If Antonio Banderas crooning musical history lessons is a little peculiar at first, once the plot kicks in, the device seems perfectly natural. After all, the teenage Eva did get her start in showbiz while dating a traveling tango singer, and since he's crooning as they travel to Buenos Aires, why shouldn't she?
What's new, Buenos Aires? I'm new. I wanna say I'm just a little stuck on you. You'll be on me too. I get out here, Buenos Aires. Stand back, you wanna know what you're gonna get in me. Just a little touch of star quality.
Eva's rise to prominence once she gets to the big city is rapid. She gets a job as a radio actress and, in the film's chronology, sleeps her way to the top, using and discarding men at a furious clip until she meets right-wing military leader Juan Perón. Here at last is a guy who seems as poised for glory as Eva does, and when his jealous fellow officers throw him into jail, she wages a public campaign on his behalf that makes her as big a star as he is.
Now I am a worker, I've suffered the way that you do. I've been unemployed and I've starved and I've hated it too.
Whether this heightened operatic portrait of a power-hungry Eva Perón is accurate will doubtless be argued by historians and should probably be left to them. The real Evita's charitable projects made her a saint in the eyes of the poor and a manipulative social climber in the eyes of the upper classes. The movie wants to split the difference and emphasize her charisma, which is the one thing everyone can agree on. In the late 1940s, Eva Perón was among the most famous women in the world, and that's clearly what appealed to composer Andrew Lloyd Webber and lyricist Tim Rice. Presumably, it also appealed to pop singer Madonna, who went to great lengths to extend her vocal range for the role and managed to extend her acting range, too. She sweeps from teenage vamp to stylish political diva with surprising ease and is pretty dazzling once she gets there. Alas, there's a trap waiting for her at the top. If Eva is as calculating and chilly as the authors make her out to be, then audiences aren't likely to warm up to her when her story turns tragic. Director Alan Parker can't quite finesse that, but he makes about as good a case for the material as anyone could. No stranger to music-heavy stories, he directed Fame and Pink Floyd The Wall in between more politically oriented films like Mississippi Burning, so Evita is, in a way, right up his various alleys. And he's delivered an appropriately epic musical tragedy. Even if you don't cry for his Argentina, you'll be impressed by his enormous crowd scenes and a sumptuous look that extends to the star's wardrobe, which reportedly includes 85 separate designer outfits. Kenneth Branagh has also delivered a sumptuous feast for the eye and ear in his new 19th century 4-hour 70mm stereophonic Hamlet, the first full-length version and easily the most epic version of the Bard's classic ever brought to the screen. Ordinarily, even on stage, the play is cut by about a third on the theory that today's audiences won't sit still for every word Shakespeare wrote about a Danish prince with family problems. Branagh delivers every syllable and they fairly fly by.
Oh, mother, what's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, how now, Hamlet?
What's the matter now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And would it but not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then I'll set those...
No problem understanding that, right? Ever since Branna arrived in Hollywood with his rip-roaring Henry V 7 years ago, he's been making sure audiences get Shakespeare without working too hard. Here he's even inserted flashbacks so that when, for instance, Hamlet holds up a skull in a graveyard and says, "Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him," we can see who Yorick was. There's actually more of this than is absolutely necessary, but then Branna delights in tricky conceits. He's placed nearly all of the movie's most important scenes in a throne room with mirrors on all four walls, as if challenging the audience to find a reflected camera somewhere. And he's cast a sort of who's who of Hollywood, with the likes of Jack Lemmon, Robin Williams, and Billy Crystal popping up as soldiers and gravediggers so audiences can have fun playing Spot the Star. Nearly all of the performances are superb. Charlton Heston is a revelation as the head of an acting troupe that springs a mousetrap on Derek Jacobi's brilliantly conflicted King Claudius. Julie Christie came out of retirement to play Hamlet's mother and does so feverishly and with grace. Gerard Depardieu pops by to lend a French accent to the proceedings. And Sense and Sensibility's winsome Kate Winslet makes for a positively besieged Ophelia, crumbling painfully into madness in the face of furies from Hamlet that could turn hawks into handsaws.
Get thee to a nunnery. Go. Farewell, for if thou wilt need marry, marry a fool. The wise men know well enough what monsters you make of them. To a nunnery, go, and quickly do farewell.
Heavenly powers, restore him.
When the film is good, it's really terrific. The staging gimmick Branna finds for Hamlet's to-be-or-not-to-be speech, for instance, will delight even those who've seen the play dozens of times. And when the film is less good, mostly because it had a very tight budget for so epic an undertaking, it's still pretty fascinating. Sometimes, as intended, that's because you're hearing speeches you've never heard before. Other times, it's because director Branna is busily massing huge armies in the snow for surprise attacks, while actor Branna is playing his twisted little mind games inside the castle. For all its conceptual cleverness, this Hamlet isn't quite transcendent, but it is pretty thrilling most of the time, sweeping and often majestic in its use of every inch of a very wide screen. In fact, in the 4 hours it struts and frets upon the screen, there's probably a good 3.5 hours that are either marvelous or thought-provoking, or both, like a statue-toppling scene that can't help invoking the fall of socialism. When you worry about how long this Hamlet is, factor that in. 3.5 hours of good stuff, after all, almost has to be an hour more than has been provided by any other film this year. I'm Bob Mondello.